All right, turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians 13. Let me just take our remaining time here tonight, share a few things with you on the matter of charity. We've been speaking over the last several months now on spiritual gifts, and Paul talks about the gifts and then says there's a more excellent way. Gifts are good. They're tools that we use to build with. Gifts are good, but there's something better than that. And so he then launches into this discussion with the Corinthian church about the matter of charity. In verse 1, he said, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." And so the matter of charity is more important than even the spiritual gifts that you have. You say, okay, well, what is charity? Charity is the character of love. I was amazed at the number of people when we started this who said, "Well, I thought charity was love." Well, it is love. It is a form of love, but charity is the character of love. All right, it is how love behaves itself. The way I had you look at it was think of the word charity, C-H-A-R. All right, now underneath that, visualize the word character, C-H-A-R, actor, the way love behaves, the way love acts. And that's what charity is. It is the way love behaves itself. And we have learned in this chapter that charity behaves, or that it acts in certain ways, and then it does not act in certain ways. There are some things that it does not do. There are some things that it does. And tonight, we pick it up where we left off last time. In verse 7, he said that, first of all, that charity beareth all things. Verse 6, I'm sorry, charity rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Now, tonight, we left off last time with the first part of verse 6. It rejoiceth not in iniquity. And tonight, we want to take our time and look at the next phrase where it says that charity does, however, rejoice in the truth. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but it does rejoice in the truth. All right, let's pray together. Our Father, thank you so much for helping us tonight to realize that there's a little part of the world that you created called St. Lucia, and there are souls that you sent your son to die for. And Lord, thank you for sending Brother Gibson there and calling him to that place where he can preach the gospel. And Lord, I pray your blessings upon his ministry. And Lord, as he has shared his heart with us tonight, and I pray that a little of his burden will now be transferred to us, and that it will become our burden. And Lord, we will pray for those people and pray for his ministry, and Lord, pray for your power to be upon him as he tries to win people to Christ. And so, Lord, just bless him. Thank you for allowing him to be here tonight. And Lord, we ask now you'll bless as we take a look at this matter of charity, and as we look at how charity rejoiceth in the truth. And Lord, help us to receive a blessing from what we hear. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, we have been looking at the way charity behaves itself. We've seen that charity does certain things, and it does not do some certain things. And we have learned so far, starting in verse 4, that charity is long-suffering. We have learned that it is kind. We have learned that it is not envious. In other words, it's not jealous. If jealousy is in your heart, then charity is not in your heart. Charity vaunteth not itself, Paul said. In other words, it does not brag. The idea of vaunting, if you vaunt, you raise yourself. You raise yourself up. And charity does not raise itself up. It does not brag. And you remember that the Corinthians were babies in spiritual matters, and yet they were all caught up in being spiritual show-offs and constantly vying for others to see them as they flaunted before others their showy gifts. And so Paul writes and says that charity does not vaunt itself. It does not brag about itself. And then at the end of verse 4, he said that charity is not puffed up. And of course, that means that charity is not arrogant. In verse 5, charity does not behave itself unseemly. It does not seek its own, verse 5, is not easily provoked, and it thinketh no evil. And in the last time, we saw that charity does not rejoice in iniquity. Now, tonight, we're going to look at the first of several statements that Paul uses to describe charity. And these are presented to us as positive attributes. These are things that charity is. It's how charity positively shows itself and positively demonstrates itself. We have seen in several of the previous ones how charity does not behave. And when Paul used the negative and said this is what charity is not, every time he was revealing to us something in the Corinthian church that showed that they were fleshly, carnal people. But tonight we're going to look at this positive trait and see how charity should demonstrate itself. Now, the first thing that Paul says here is that charity rejoiceth in the truth. Now, at first glance, it may seem strange to contrast not rejoicing in iniquity, the previous one, not rejoicing in iniquity with the next one, but rejoicing in the truth. But the truth that Paul is speaking about here is not just simple facts, or he's not necessarily dealing with just factual truth. What he has in mind here is God's truth. All right, when he says that it rejoiceth in the truth, this is God's truth. Folks, listen, there is nothing as important as God's truth. I mean, the Word of God, that's it. It doesn't get any better than that. And we should not misunderstand what Paul's saying here. What he has in mind here is God's truth, God's revealed Word. Now, folks, listen. Righteousness is predicated on God's truth. All right, now let that sink into your mind. Righteousness is predicated on God's truth, and it cannot exist apart from it. So let's look at this matter of charity rejoiceth in the truth. May I remind you that the Lord Jesus said that He was truth? In John 14:6, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let me also remind you that Jesus said that the Word of God was truth. The Bible is truth. The philosophers have for centuries been asking the question, what is truth? And they have devised their own understanding of it. And so much of what man has come up with is the exact opposite of truth. It's nothing but a bunch of lies and falsehood. And they have said that truth is relative. No, my friend, truth is not relative. What is truth? God's Word is truth. I hold in my hand tonight the truth, the Word of God. God's Word is truth. Now, Paul here said that charity always rejoices in the truth. and never with falsehood or with false doctrine. Now watch how this works. Charity, and I'm talking about the character of love now. I'm talking about how love behaves itself. Charity cannot follow wrong doctrine. It cannot follow wrong doctrine. But here is the modern day philosophy of the world. Here is the modern day mentality. And this has been the mentality for as long as we have had God's truth. That mentality says this: it doesn't make a great deal of difference if people don't agree with us about doctrine. What matters is that we all love one another. Folks, listen, that is just wrong. That is just wrong philosophy. What we have done is we have taken God and placed Him over here, and we've put the whole issue around ourselves. And it's not about us. It's about God's revealed truth. Amen. Folks, may I remind you that when we stand before the Lord one of these days, we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and receive reward gain or reward loss based upon what has been revealed in this book. God's not going to open up the Britannica Encyclopedia and judge our faithfulness and our works and our soul winning and all on the encyclopedia. God's going to open the Bible. Can I remind you that Revelation 20 talks about how that at the great white throne judgment, when all the dead are standing, when all the unsaved are standing before God, the Bible says, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. I've heard preachers preach that the books, and they say, oh, well, that's where God's keeping track of all your sins. Folks, listen, God is God. He doesn't have to write them all down. He knows our sins. The books were open. That's this book right here, the 66 books that make up this book. And man is going to be judged out of what is written in the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God is truth. That's why. Listen, you go to a courtroom and they make you stand up in front of that jury and in front of that judge and put your hand on the Bible and put your other hand up in the air and solemnly swear the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Why? Because a decision cannot be rendered until the truth is known. And that's this book is what's going to be open. And what does this book reveal? It reveals the way that man can be rightly related to God. And that's God's truth. You see, everybody, all these denominations and all these churches and everybody else said, oh, you need to go our way. Oh, you need to go our way. No, you need to go our doctrine. No, you need our creed. Excuse me, folks. We better find out what God has to say about the subject, because God is the one that's going to open the book one of these days. And we're going to have to give an account for how we have lined up with the Word, with the truth, and not what Aunt Susie says. All right. So charity cannot follow wrong doctrine. And the world's philosophy says it doesn't make any difference if we don't agree with one another about doctrine. What matters is that we just love each other. And folks, that is the basic view of our society today. This is what is commonly referred to as the ecumenical idea. The ecumenical movement. But if we love others, it will matter a great deal to us whether or not what they believe is right or wrong. See the difference? I mean, if we love others, it will matter a great deal to us whether or not what they believe is right or wrong. You see, there is only one truth, and that one truth is relative to whether their soul is saved or lost. People's eternal destiny is at stake, so charity says to them, out of concern for their soul, you must believe the truth. Folks, that's why I cannot compromise on the truth. Now, it just doesn't matter how much criticism I have to take about it. I just take it. I cannot compromise on the truth. And because the truth is what it's all about. So the truth of the matter is, people don't like the truth. You know, people don't like to come to church and have some hillbilly stick his finger in their face and tell them they're sinners and tell them they're going to hell if they don't get saved. I mean, they don't like that. Men don't like to be told that they need to repent of their sin and that they can that they can't stand before a holy and righteous God and be just in their own righteousness. They cannot go and stand before God cloaked in their religion. They must be born again. People don't want to hear that. But that's the truth. And so the ecumenists have watered down the truth and they've soft-soaked it and they've covered doctrine with rose petals and they have taken all of the truth and set it aside and made love the theme and they think that they're going to get the job done. And folks, what's happening is they are misleading the very people that they are supposed to be ministering to. Listen, if you don't get them the truth, they're lost. I don't care how much you love them. So we've got to get the truth. And so Paul says that charity rejoiceth in the truth. John Lennon came out in the 70s and said, all you need is love. No, John. No, that's the world's philosophy. That's humanism's philosophy. That's the devil's philosophy. That's not God's philosophy. All you need is truth. You get the truth lined out and the love will fall into place. Amen. One of the true characteristics of charity is that it rejoiceth in the truth. Folks, listen very carefully. Charity is consistent with being long-suffering. It is consistent, going back to verse 4, it is consistent, charity is consistent with being long-suffering, but it is not consistent with compromising the truth. It's just not. Charity is consistent with kindness, but it is not consistent with compromise of the truth. Compromising truth is not being kind to those whom we mislead by our failure to stand firmly in the truth. And folks, if I know the truth, but yet I ignore the truth simply for the sake of appearing loving and kind and compassionate and all these other things that are descriptive of charity, if I ignore the truth for the sake of appearing loving or kind or compassionate, I'm misleading folks. Do you understand that? Let me give you a verse. Go back to 2 John. 2 John. Now that's right before 3 John. Huh? Right after 1 John. You're very good. See, nothing gets past these folks. All right, now, 2 John. Look at verse 4. The first chapter, of course. Okay, just making sure you're watching. Look at verse 4. He said, I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love. Now, hang on here, folks. I want you to look at this now. I mean, you know, the world talks about love, and the world thinks that they know what love is, and the world thinks that love is just overlooking sin or being tolerant of sin or just letting anything fly for the sake of unity. And the world thinks that love is just being acceptable of everyone at the expense of truth. But John tells us what love really is. Look at it. And this is love. Are you listening? He's about to tell you what love is. He's about to tell you what real, true Bible love is. This is love. Oh yeah, John, what's that? That we walk after His what? Hey, look up here. That we walk after His truth. That we walk after His commandments. Folks, listen. Listen now. You're going to learn some Bible here. If you're not careful, you're going to learn something here. If you can get all those years of humanism that's been poured into your head out of the way, you're going to learn something here. John said that love is walking according to God's commandments. To compromise is to weaken your position, and it not only affects you, but it affects others. We're to obey the truth. We're to obey the truth. We're to follow the Word of God. Let me explain what I mean by you not only weaken your position, but also others. If we compromise with those that deny the resurrection, or those that deny the virgin birth, that's not being loving. When I compromise with those that deny the resurrection or the virgin birth or any of the other major doctrines, when I compromise, I am saying to that person who doesn't believe in the resurrection that it's okay for him not to believe in the resurrection. Right? I mean, if I know that he denies the resurrection, but yet for the sake of unity and for the sake of, well, let's just all get along, and for the sake of, well, you know, we're all trying to get there. We're just all taking different avenues to end up in the same spot, and I neglect the truth, and if I compromise just for the sake of unity, then what I am saying is, hey, buddy, listen, it's okay if you don't believe in the resurrection. And according to my Bible, it's not okay if he doesn't believe in the resurrection. For Paul said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The resurrection is not something you can take or leave. You got to believe in that to be saved. So what does truth say? Truth says you got to believe in the resurrection. So if I compromise on that for the sake of unity, just so we can all get along, then I am not only violating God's word, I am giving you credence to continue in your false doctrine. And folks, you can call that love if you want to. That's not love, because one of these days you're going to stand before a just and holy God who's going to open the truth, and then that guy that's refused the truth is going to turn around and look at you and say, you knew this? You stood there on that platform and held hands with me and sung Kumbaya. You said you knew the truth and you didn't tell me? Now, granted, some folks don't want to listen to it, but you know, sometimes you run across someone who does want to listen to it. Told you about that Episcopalian priest I led to Christ on an airplane. Well, just what do you Baptists believe? I said, you know, that was one of those soft, real soft ones right down the middle of the plate. Boy, you just crack that one right out of the ballpark. I said, well, here, let me show you. I can take just a few minutes and show you what we believe. I've always wondered what you Baptist folk believe. And about 15 minutes' time, that old boy was fighting back the tears, praying and receiving Christ as his Savior. People on that airplane were looking at us. We got up to leave, and he turned around. He said, thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much. And he bear hugged me right there in the aisle. I felt kind of funny, a guy in a dress hugging me. But I said, you're welcome, friend. He said, I got to tell my people about this Sunday. I pulled out a tract and I said, here, just preach what's in this tract right here. Let them have it. Oh, they'd probably throw him out if he did. But hey, the truth will set you free. Can't compromise. That's not what Paul's not saying compromise here. It rejoices in the truth. The truth. Hey, folks, listen. Are you ashamed of the truth? You don't know how many times I've gotten on an airplane, just reached out of my bag and pull this old Cambridge Bible out and lay that little tray down. They don't feed you on planes anymore, so just use it for something good. Open your Bible and lay your Bible out on that, and the person sitting there looking at you like, and I've had many of them ask me, "What is that? This? Yeah. Well, that's a Bible." "Well, can I see the other man?" "Sure. Here, let me show you where to read." Romans chapter 3. See this 10th verse right here? Read that for me. I've led them to the Lord, having them read the Scripture. Oh, they love to read the Bible. What is that? That's a Bible. I'm not ashamed of the truth. I'm not ashamed of the truth. And boy, let me tell you, when you take the truth and you give it to somebody and they receive it, man, there's rejoicing. There is some rejoicing going on. I mean, folks, listen. Paul said that charity rejoiceth in the truth. Now, there's more. There's so much more. But if I start the next one, you'll be here till 25 after. And I know you got to get your kids. But listen, this matter of charity, the point I think Paul's making here is that charity focuses, it rejoices in the right thing. It rejoices in the right thing. It hopes for the good. It hopes, it looks for the good. It emphasizes the good. And it rejoices in the truth. You know, years ago, I was pastoring down at Bell Creek Baptist Church in Dixie, West Virginia, and we had this dear old saint in the church. I really didn't know her as well as I wished I had could have gotten to know her. She died shortly after we went there as the pastor of the church, and I knew her, but I did not know her the way everybody else talked about her. And she was so ill and so sick and unable to really communicate as well. And so I really didn't know her all that well. But the family asked me to do her funeral. And her daughter wrote a poem, a memorial piece, and was afraid that she would not be able to read it. So she gave it to me. And I read it and I kept it, and there was one line in it that really I just never got over. I just never got over, and I knew this gal. I didn't think she was I didn't think she was as deep as this, but to be honest with you, but boy, what a line! Here's what she said about her mother. She said, "With Mom now gone, who is left to appreciate the triumphs of ordinary people?" That's charity, folks. Rejoicing in the truth. That's charity. I mean, when you can see the Word of God making a change in somebody's life, like he talked about tonight, what is that, Brother Gibson, making that change? No. What is that? That's the truth making the change. See, the truth will set you free. Free what? Free so you can live for God. It gets the bindings off. It gets the chains from around you so that you're free to live for God. Hey, I'm saved now. I can live for God. Wow, this is great. And boy, the more you read your Bible and the more you grow and the stronger you get and the more you learn and the closer you walk. I mean, you know, that truth just keeps setting you free. And then you can look at others and see others growing and see the development, see the change and see the maturity and see the strength in their lives. And you can sit there and rejoice in that. Boy, that truth is a powerful thing, folks. It's a powerful thing. And so Paul said, charity rejoiceth in the truth. Man, I tell you, folks, I'm just gonna stick with the book. You know, we've come too far to turn back now. Let's just stick with it. Just stay right there with it. When you see it working in somebody's life, when you see how somebody is appropriating the Scripture and how they're growing, rejoice in that. Rejoice in that. Get excited about that. Man, he's up here. I thought it was neat, brother, because I knew what I was speaking on tonight. And here you up here, you know, here you up here, you just pushing them buttons, and this is so-and-so. And, 14 years, he was a drunk, but he got saved. And the first thing he said was, hey, we need to get married. Who put that in his heart? I tell you who did it. God did it. Because that's what the truth says. See? And that's how it works. Man, thank God for the truth. Folks, love your Bible. Love your Bible. Learn it. Read it. Study it. Meditate upon it. I mean, just lose yourself in your Bible. And get that truth of God in your heart and in your soul. And let God's truth just radiate from your heart. Rejoiceth in the truth. Charity, the character of love. All right, let's pray. Our Father, thank you for our time together tonight. And Lord, what a blessing to know the Savior. What a blessing to realize the Holy Spirit of God lives within and gives us direction and Lord, illuminates our minds to the things of Scripture so that we can read the Bible and understand it. And Lord, help us to see this little principle tonight of how charity rejoiceth in the truth. And Lord, that certainly does not mean that we're just to lay the truth aside and all hug and love one another in quote unquote the name of the Lord. That's not what this is teaching. This is teaching, Lord, that we are to love the truth and rejoice when the truth does its work in people's hearts. When the truth is held up as a banner and we say, here is the way, walk ye in it. And then, Lord, folks walk in that way. Oh my, there's not a greater rejoicing anywhere than to see, as John said, my children walk in the truth. Lord, we just thank you for our time together this evening. I ask you, Lord, to bless what's been said. And Lord, give us convictions about the Scripture and give us a heart and a hunger for the Word of God. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.